Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Episode 13, Stand Out with a Twist. Is your message being buried in the noise? Do you sound like every other professional in your market? And do you notice eyes glazing over when you talk about your business? Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if this is your first time listening, welcome home. It's here you'll get actionable strategies, advice, and tools to launch and grow a successful business that allows you to live a comfortable life, love what you do, and make an impact through your work. To build a strong business, you need a strong brand. And in this episode, you will learn how to stand out with a twist with my special guest. She's the founder of Brand Twist and author of the book Twist, Julie Catino. Julie is a globally recognized branding expert, best-selling author, and CEO of her own agency, Brand Twist. She has helped thousands of entrepreneurs stand out and shine by defining their unique business and personal twists. Julie honed her branding chops working with Sir Richard Branson at the iconic Virgin brand, as well as global communications agencies like Gray and Interbrand. She is often quoted in top business media such as Forbes, Entrepreneur, and CNN, and was awarded the 2018 Small Business Visionary Award for Best Business Consultant. Julie is located in Westchester, New York, where she is staying safe and well-fed with her French husband and two adult children and Teddy, the Wonder Beagle, otherwise known as the Chief Barking Officer. So are we going to hear from Teddy today, Julie?
I hope not. He's out on a walk.
I should also confess that Julie is a close personal colleague and my BFF in business. You may have already heard about her as she's pretty famous in her field. And with her focus on twisting your brand, she has effectively taken a position in her market of one. She is the only branding expert that talks about the twist and using that as a key strategy to stand out. And be sure to listen to this full episode, my friend, to get a special invitation from Julie to support you with your brand twist. So welcome, my friend.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
I am always so delighted to have you on the show or as part of Life After Corporate or the Launch Lab. And before we dive in to how to stand out and build a memorable brand, we always ask our guests to share their Life After Corporate story. So what was your big why for leaving Virgin, especially if you're working for Sir Richard Branson, who's the mega entrepreneur star in the entire universe? What made you set out on your own?
Well, it's funny because Richard has this saying, which is, screw it, let's do it. It's actually the title of one of his best books. And I was working at Virgin with all these wonderful entrepreneurs, and I just got bitten by the entrepreneur bug. And I came home and said to my husband, screw it, let's do it. I'm going to leave my corporate job and start my own company. And he said, I don't think that's what that means. You know, at the time, this was 9 years ago, actually, but my daughter was in middle school and, you know, my son's a few years younger. And he said, we've got two colleges to pay for. And, you know, is this a big financial risk? And I said, no, it's exactly the risk that I should take. I want to build something of my own that I'm proud of. And Virgin was actually my first client. I had a very soft departure, I guess. You know, I stopped working for them as an employee in August, and they were my first consulting client in September. And I actually just wrapped up a project last week for one of the Virgin companies. So I'm still working with them.
That's a great story. And we met at that around the same time, because I've been in business 8 years and my son was in middle school, and I met you at an event in California where we were learning to hone our chops at speaking from the stage and running group programs and things like that. So it was great fun. We've known each other for a while. And it's also great that you had a soft landing. So that's a great nugget to take away, my friends, too, because if you can create a relationship where your former employer is actually your first client, that's a great place to land.
Yeah, I actually gave them 6 months notice, which sounds maybe absurd, but it was something I knew I wanted to do. Also personally, my father-in-law had passed away at a fairly young age, and it was one of those life's too short moments. And I was out to breakfast with my boss, not Richard, but the person who ran the New York office. And, I said, I really want to do this, but I want to do it right. So I'm going to give you plenty of time so that you're not, left out in the lurch. And, he checked in with me a couple days later because he knew some of it was a little, bit of the grief that I was processing. Mm-hmm. And then he said, "You still want to do this?" And I said, "Yeah." And it was just such a lovely, calm, well-planned departure. And I think I learned a lesson that it's not always, stay or go. It can also be, I'm going to stay till it's the right time to go. Financially it worked out. I mean, it just worked out. I guess I took a risk. They could have shown me the door, but I sort of knew that they wouldn't because we had built up a nice rapport. And I thought I was really doing my last act to really support them by, not giving 2 weeks notice for a very senior position, which I could have done. My contract didn't say I had to do any more than that.
And that's such a great point of, taking the high road on your way out. I mean, in many ways, it's almost like leaving a corporate family because we get so connected to the people that we're working for, the people that we're working with. And when you have those kinds of relationships, they want to see you succeed too. They want to see you live the dream. And so coming at it from a place of collaboration and cooperation, I don't want to leave you in the lurch, I want to support you on the way out, sometimes is the best strategy of all, because then you do get a softer financial landing. So it's a great, great point. So we know it's important for brands to stand out. And I think Virgin is one of those iconic brands in the industry that really stands out in many different markets. And we know this is different times right now, but let's first talk about the basics of branding and what it takes to build a memorable brand.
Yeah, I think it all starts with who you want to serve in good times and in bad. And that's one of the lessons that I really learned from Richard. He was always about, what problems are we trying to solve? And when I started my own business, I thought, well, the problem that I want to solve is I want to have a resource that's kind of the top shelf advice that you would get from a big branding agency, but more accessible to the people that might not be able to afford that and need something that's, a little bit more plain spoken and easier to understand and less about strategy, deep, deep strategy, and more about just enough strategy, just enough brand strategy that you could act on it.
That's great. And that, certainly reinforces what I believe too. You have to have a problem that you solve and people you serve, and that your messaging is really not about you. It's all about them and connecting on a deeper basis to what they need. So why is branding important? And when in the launch process should you be focusing on building out your brand?
Branding is important because it's basically your story. It's your why. It's your why do you exist? And you really need to start it day one. I mean, as you're thinking of your new business idea, you should be thinking about your brand. It's a very common mistake that I see is that people spend, a long time, 6 months, 18 months, 2 years, whatever it is, on a business plan. They're ready to launch. And then they say, oh, wait, I need a brand. And in that sense, what they're saying is, I need a name and maybe a logo and a website. But really, the true power of your brand is your differentiation, your twist. So from the very beginning, if you're thinking about why do I exist, who do I serve, and what's unique about me, then that should be built into your business model. And when you get really clear on your strategy, things like naming and design and website, they're so much easier. I mean, you know that because we've done it together, right?
But yes, we did.
And so rather than, you know, spin your wheels and say, do I like this color or that color, or I like this name, but my husband likes that name and my best friend likes that other name, all of those things fade away when you're really clear on this is my brand twist, this is my unique story, and then what's the best way to express that? And that's really your brand.
And I think so many people feel like, as soon as I launch, I need a website because I think I need something that enforces my credibility, that I exist. Without a website, I don't exist. And they go and they create a name and they get a logo and they put up this website. And then it's that, what I learned from you, it's like that wah, 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 wah. They sound like everyone else. So talk about the twist and what does it mean to twist your brand and what are the elements of a brand that really stands out?
Well, the twist really has two basic meanings. One is a twist in identifying what's unique about you. Like if you think about a movie or a book with a great plot twist, you know, it's something interesting and unexpected. And that can come from, you know, a bunch of different places, but it can come from your point of view that's different about the category. Like what are you trying to overcome or give people a better choice about? Like when Richard started Virgin Atlantic, his twist was that airlines got you from point A to point B, but the voyage in between was really boring. You know, at the time it was mostly, you know, British Airways as a carrier in London and very safe, great airline, but the experience was sort of stayed. And he actually, his twist, as part of his personal twist, was that he was a record producer. He didn't know anything about the airlines. He was a virgin in the airline business, but he was a very successful rock and roll connoisseur mm-hmm. and businessman. And so he brought that rock and roll to the airlines. And that's why Virgin Atlantic is always more fun to fly on. You know, they have everything from a bar, like literally on the airplane, to sleep suits, to, you know, just fun music and movies and just much more entertaining. So part of it is figuring out what's different about you. But the other part is, how do you do that? And my methodology in the book and in my classes and my one-on-one coaching is look outside of your category for inspiration and then twist, you know, using it as the verb, that inspiration with your business. So when Richard created Virgin Atlantic, he spent a little time looking at the competition just to know what he wanted to do better. But then what he was really inspired by was looking outside of the category at, you know, great music and concerts and entertainment. So we all get brand blinders on. You know, we spend too much time trying to look legitimate. We worry about what our competition is doing. And you get so much better results if you take off your brand blinders and you just look at what brands, you know, are catching your attention or making you feel good. Do you feel like stand out in their own categories, and what lessons can you learn from them?
And we should probably tell the great do-over story because that kind of will bring it home to everybody. So before I met Julie, my company name was Live a Whole Life, which is kind of nice and kind of boring. And when I met her, she said, you know, Deb, I think you can do better. I don't remember your exact words.
But I think I said womp, 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 womp.
Probably. And so I went to brand school. I thought brand school was a fabulous experience because you really broke it down for me step by step and, you know, what made me different, what made the experience different. And when it came time to twisting with a brand, I twisted with Nike, because in my corporate days, I always loved that just do it campaign. I was in sales, I was in marketing, and I wanted to get things done and get things done quickly. And that campaign made people feel like they could be athletes, like you could be an everyday athlete and you could achieve something important you did with wearing those sneakers. And so when we twisted Live a Whole Life with Nike, we came up with the great do-over. And I always say you know when you've landed on something that really resonates with your market, because when you go to a networking event or you introduce yourself to someone and you say your company name and the people you serve and the benefit of working with you, people start using it in a sentence. And so that's what happened at my very first networking event after we branded The Great Do-Over. And I walked into the room and said, I'm Deb Boulanger, I'm CEO of The Great Do-Over. And I can't remember my exact words, but I work with women in midlife who are burnt out and want to reinvent themselves without blah, blah, blah. And everyone kept saying, oh, I need a do-over. I need a do-over. I'm ready for my great do-over. And that was kind of my signal that was like, wow, this branding stuff is really important because it makes you memorable.
Yeah, and you redid your logo too, I remember. You did a new logo that was inspired by the Nike swoosh that was sort of the V victory woman, and it just had a ton of energy to it and really stood out also in your market.
Yeah, it did. And I really enjoy that piece of it too, because it made everything hang together. And you always chastise me for creating too many brands. But when it came time to the podcast, I thought, you know, let's just call it what it is, you know, life after corporate. And there is a life after corporate. So I don't know what I twisted that with. But anyway, we did the twist. And that's what makes you memorable. So there are so many people who listen to this podcast who are in the services profession. They're coaches, they're consultants, they're trainers, they're speakers. And I think one of the mistakes they do make is what you highlighted before is, let me look at my competition. Let me see what they're saying. Let me see the words that they're using. So when you're twisting, do you have some other examples of great twists?
Yeah, I think you can bring your personal twist into it as well. You know, one of my brand school students was a high-end kitchen designer, you know, very accomplished. And her personal twist, her personal passion, which she didn't bring up right away when we were working together, but I finally found out about it, was that she was an amateur ballroom dancer. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. That takes a lot of commitment and, you know, partnership. I mean, ballroom dancing is all about partnership and flow and, you know, a real appreciation of moving through spaces. And when we started to really unpack it, we realized that all the things that made her great kitchen designer were the same things that attracted her to ballroom dancing. And so we twisted her personal passion with her professional expertise, and she rebranded as kitchen choreography.
Well, that's brilliant, right? Because it makes so much sense too. And it makes her stand out because no one else is talking about choreographing your kitchen design.
And it's also authentic. So when she talks about it, when she talks to clients about it, you know, you can feel her passion, you know, just her body language shifts and her, you know, her voice changes. And, you know, in the very beginning, she did question, is this too personal? You know, are the people, sometimes she works with homeowners, but sometimes she works with, you know, architects in commercial spaces, or if they're designing a whole apartment building. And she thought, well, you know, is this too feminine or frilly? Are they going to get it? And similar to what you said about The Great Do-Over, the first time she was in a meeting with some architects and she floated the idea of kitchen choreography, right away they started, you know, they started playing it back to her. Oh, well, what steps do you take in designing your kitchen? Mm-hmm. You know, it started using the language of dance, and they got a kick out of it too. And then she knew she was onto something.
And it makes sense on other levels too, because if you like to cook and you're a chef, you know that, you know, choreographing a meal or choreographing a recipe, and also where things are located in your kitchen, is like a dance when you're pulling together all of your ingredients, you know, and you, it just makes sense on so many visceral, on a visceral level as well. So it's a great name, great branding. And, but most brands don't stand out like the Great Do-Over or Kitchen Choreography. And unfortunately, it is a lot of wah, wah, wah out there. And you've heard me say, if I hear one more life coach tell me she helps people transform from the inside out, I'm just going to lose it, because it doesn't mean anything. And everyone says that. So branding is important in any time in business. And right now we have some listeners who are just launching their business right before COVID-19 hit. And it's tough enough in normal circumstances, or what we used to think of as normal circumstances. So how can you stand out and find opportunity even in this time of uncertainty? So what are you advising your clients, Julie?
Yeah, I'm working now in these brand booster sessions with clients who have already launched or in the process of launching or been around, you know, a long time. But the common denominator is, how do you boost your twist right now? And the three areas that we're focusing on, the first is really twisting your offering. So what do you fundamentally deliver? And you have to make sure that what you're delivering is what people need right now. And, you know, a great example of this is Walmart, of all brands, because they noticed that they're selling more tops, but not so many bottoms. And of course, they're selling more tops because we're all going to work now kind of on the Zoom screen from the waist up, right? And metaphorically, a lot of us are still pushing the whole outfit, right? So taking a step back and saying, you know, I might know how to do these 10 things really well. I might like working with people in depth over weeks and weeks. I might feel that my business really is best delivered in person. Well, those may be true, but they're not necessarily what your client needs anymore. And so to really narrow down and twist what you offer to meet what people need is the number one strategy that I'm really working hard with people on right now, and is really actually delivering immediate results. I'm working with coaches who call me back and say, you know, I twisted my offering from long coaching sessions to micro coaching sessions, which are 15 minutes and focus on, you know, the most pressing issues. And I've just booked 3 new clients.
Wow. So it's not that market opportunity has dried up. It's that it's shifted and people have new needs, and it requires that you take your skills and deliver them in new and different ways. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. And also, there may be new people out there. You know, there are other strategies, twist your target. You know, a lot of us have 3 different target audiences and we talk to all of them equally, but in this market, there's an opportunity to say, okay, maybe there's an audience that I haven't thought about before that I could, you know, specifically market to. A great example of this is older people. You know, in marketing, I mean, you and I were trained, you know, if you advertise to a 25-year-old, you'll get the 45-year-old, the 65-year-old, the 75-year-old. Well, you know, this whole pandemic has made us realize that there are different needs, but there's also a whole group of older adults now that are all of a sudden computer savvy. You know, they've had to learn how to Zoom in order to keep up with their grandchildren and their children and, you know, everything else. And so, you know, there are a lot of supermarkets, for example, that are specifically branding to older adults and saying, you know, come in early, or, you know, and you can shop before everybody gets here, or branding and marketing to caretakers of older adults. Another new cohort that literally didn't exist, you know, 2 months ago were these quarantines, right? From quarantine and team. There's a whole group of people now for the first time that having to learn how to be productive, not being in the same room. So if you're a leadership coach, How can you now coach your clients to better lead and manage their quarantine? That's a whole new target.
And there are also coaches and trainers and speakers who are working with people. I have a client who's a photographer, and she's doing virtual presence coaching, helping people really stand out in the frame on a video call, whether they're interviewing for jobs or leaders who are leading their teams. So it's a whole different dynamic when you're online and not in the same room. So it's a different way of communicating, a different way of showing up. And, you know, you don't want to be in the shadows. I offered a brand new course called Standout Webinars because I realized so many of the speakers were coming off the road and delivering their content in Zoom webinars or online webinars and didn't really understand the nuances of delivering content in a new technology. So it's been great fun twisting my offerings in that way. Any other thoughts on twisting in a global downturn? Is it even okay to be marketing yourself right now? Is it insensitive to go out there and start selling services?
Yeah, I love that question. And it's absolutely okay to be marketing yourself right now. I mean, we are business first responders. And if you believe in what you're offering, which I hope all of your listeners do, because we shouldn't be in business if we're not passionate about it, then you believe that you're adding value. So you've got to get out there and add that value. You do, though, have to, you know, market it in a way that is sensitive to what people need, which is twisting your offering, you know, to new targets and new emotions that people might be going through, which is, you know, twisting your target. And then this really leads to the third strategy, which is twisting for the greater good. So I think it's really important right now that businesses step up. And I am actually delighted to see so many businesses stepping up. And I think to have a pro-social element, you know, a do-good element to your brand is really important. You know, in my own case, these brand booster sessions that I mentioned, you know, I'm making them more accessible. They're, you know, they're a third of the price than they used to be. And I'm doing that because I understand that people are, you know, concerned about their income right now. I'm making them a lot shorter and to the point because I know that people are overwhelmed. And when you're overwhelmed, the best thing is to really focus and make things kind of bite size. But the third thing that I'm doing is I'm giving a portion of those proceeds to Doctors Without Borders. And, you know, Médecins Sans Frontières, because I'm a country citizen. You know, my husband's French. We both have French last names. My husband's French, and I believe in that organization. So it shifts my energy. You know, when I'm talking to potential clients now and saying, you know, they might call me and say, oh, can you help me out with some branding advice? I said, well, why don't we do a brand booster session? I can give you the advice that you need in a very short, easy format at an affordable price. And we can both do some good because we're both going to be supporting Doctors Without Borders when you book the session.
That's a great strategy to have a give back component in your business. And I love the way you framed it as we are the first responders, because you just spoke to me because my initial reaction was, how can I help? How can I create forums, put forums together and connect people to start solving these problems in new ways? And that's a great way to put it. There are people out there who really are desperate for what you have to offer. And what I've been saying recently too is that when you go dark and you don't step up as a first responder in your marketing, then you rob your ideal clients of the benefit of realizing the goals that they could achieve or the problem that they could solve if they knew you existed. And you rob yourself of much needed revenue and client connection right now. So it doesn't do anyone any good to go dark just because we're in time of uncertainty and we can't predict the future.
Exactly. I mean, we can't hide from this. So we have to take control of it. And, you know, each of your listeners I know has their own gifts and the world needs your gift right now. So, you know, I would get out there with it. I would just really ask yourself the question, though, before you make an offer, before you brand and market, you know, am I being sensitive to what's shifted, what's twisted in people's behavior? Am I making my offer a way that's digestible and manageable? And if you can, you know, is there a pro-social element to it? And it doesn't always have to be that you'll donate money. I mean, I know people who are, you know, saying, like, I've actually offered to, if somebody takes a brand booster session, they can either donate with me to Doctors Without Borders, or if they know somebody in the helping, giving, healing profession, doesn't even have to be a doctor, you know, it could be a massage therapist, it could be, you know, anybody who's helping people, that I will do a free session on their behalf if they nominate somebody. So you can also give up your time and your expertise as well.
That's brilliant. And a session with you, I must say, is an amazing experience because you have such a creative mind and you have such keen powers of observation and pattern recognition. You're always spotting where there are new opportunities or new ideas to twist something around. So it's any opportunity to spend time with Julie is a great opportunity. So if our listeners want to take you up on that brand boosting session, how do they do that?
So they can go to boostyourbrandimmunity.com. And in the navigation bar, it says booster sessions. That's a quick way. And they can also hear on that website an edited version of a longer webinar that I gave a few weeks ago. So boostyourbrandimmunity.com. They can always go to brandtwist.com, and there's, you know, all roads lead to me on that website, including an icon in the middle that talks about the booster sessions. They can email me at julie@brandtwist.com. I love getting emails. And the last thing I would say is my publisher actually is doing a wonderful thing in this month as well, where she has put about 60 titles, my book Twist and some other really fabulous titles, on Amazon. The Kindle versions are only $2.99. So if you're interested in getting the book, you can go directly to Amazon, get your Kindle version for $2.99. I'm reading a ton right now in general, but I've also read a ton of my fellow Panoma Press business authors this month because it's just so easy and affordable to download them. And then, you know, as giving back, I'm writing Amazon reviews, which is a nice thing that we can do to support one another in this time. I'm sure you're talking about that, LinkedIn reviews, Amazon reviews.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're having a bad day, if you're wondering about your own brand, professional, personal, the best thing to do is to reach out and support somebody else's brand.
That's a great, great idea. I know I've been the lucky recipient of some spontaneous LinkedIn reviews. It certainly felt really good, and it's a great thing to give away. And I highly recommend you get the book Twist. It's short, it's very easy to get through, actionable, practical advice that will help you with Julie's brand twist system, and it's required reading for everyone in the Launch Lab. So it's a great, great, great opportunity to get that and improve your brand. Julie, thank you so much, my friend. Do you have any last word that you would like to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, I think that, well, first of all, thank you for having me. I always enjoy these talks. I wish we could be in person together, but hopefully that'll happen soon. I think that times of great disruption, and I personally have never lived through a time that's as disruptive as it is right now. I think many of us haven't. You know, they really can breed great innovation. So while it's easy to get down about all the things that we're missing, and I so want everybody to stay healthy and stay well, it's an amazing time to be in business. It's an amazing time for ideas, to launch your own business, to find your own twist. It's really, I think, going to be a time we look back. It's going to be a creative renaissance. I think so many great ideas are going to be born right now out of people who are finally taking a deep breath, slowing down, whether that was, you know, something we planned on or something mm-hmm. that happened to us, and just, you know, as you always tell me, take a deep breath, exhale, you know, and really tune in to what people need and tune in to your twist, to your gift. So I'm feeling very positive about the future. I know there are going to be some bumps along the road, but I think people who are, you know, leaving corporate right now and creating their own gifts and out there with their own twists in the world, I think it's a fantastic time. And I would love to support them in any way that I can.
Well said. It is a terrific time. And there are a lot of people who will be twisting and reinventing themselves when the corporate experience they've known is no longer there. And so just realize, if that's you, that this isn't the end of the world. There are many opportunities for you to repackage your gifts and grow a business and thrive personally and professionally. And before we leave, I want to give a shout out to Shireen for posting a review last week. Shireen says, "Love the podcast. Very practical insights and advice that I can apply immediately. I also like the expert guest speakers and how Deb ties the content together, propelling me forward on the day-to-day in my entrepreneurial journey. Great way to kickstart the day." So I'm so grateful to have you here, Shireen. Thank you for that review. Stay plugged in to Life After Corporate by subscribing to our show. And if you like what you learn, please leave us a rating and review. It means so much to me. That's it for our time today, my friend. Till next time. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.